You know, I was thinking this this weekend and even tonight that each week we add to the prayer list, and not just each week, but each day. If you saw the text this afternoon, we add names of people who are facing ailments or struggles. We know some of them personally. A lot of us know some of them personally. Some of them are only known to a few of us and perhaps only one of us. So how should we pray for those that we don't know? How do we know them? How do we pray for them? Do our prayers really do them any good? Well, the Bible's got much to say about praying to God. James 5, verses 13 through 16, he sheds some light on the benefits from on who benefits from prayer. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. The sense of the word pray here is to draw near to God and express our wish. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And the prayer of the faithful will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. And verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, Paul also wrote a lot telling about prayers, praying for the brethren. We've been studying some of that tonight. He wrote about praying specifically and praying in general, asking for prayers for himself, for his ministry. To read Paul's accounts, we learn that prayer is a two-way street. He prayed for others, and he asked them to pray for him. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul writes, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you all in our prayers." In chapter 5, verse 25, he says, he asks for prayer, saying simply, "Brethren, pray for us." And in between these passages, the apostle edified the newly planted church to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In verse chapter 5, verse 17. Now, does that mean we should be on our knees 24/7? I think if we took Paul's words literally here, it'd be a little bit hard to get the work of the church done. But realistically, we can pray without ceasing. We can pray continually if we follow the example set by Christ throughout the Gospels. He focused on God throughout every day. That's the example he set. Jesus prayed at his baptism. He prayed at the end of the days after working miracles for so many. He prayed in solitude in the wilderness as he sought occasional escape from the masses. He prayed before feeding the 5,000. All these different occasions. And Jesus prayed when he traveled. When he traveled with Peter, John, and James up the mount, he prayed not just in troubled times, but he also prayed prayers of thanks for the successes he experienced, such as in Luke 10:21, when the 70 disciples returned from their first assignment with their good news. Jesus taught that prayer should be a habit. Prayer should be a habit, not of rote memorization, as so many do, but a pattern is established. And he demonstrated prayer while in anguish, knowing of his duty to come on the cross. He prayed for himself, for his disciples, for his church. He prayed for all of us on the night he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed for forgiveness as he hung on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Paul tells us in Romans 12, verse 15, to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. There's no greater feeling than to be able to celebrate everything good that we have to be thankful for with our brethren, to rejoice with those who rejoice. And there's no greater comfort to a Christian than to know that these same loving brethren are able and willing to weep with those who weep. The Bible does have a lot to say about praying. So obviously prayer is important to God. It's not just a polite suggestion. It's a commandment. Therefore, we should make it important to ourselves. We have a lot of names on our prayer list. What if the person we're praying for is not a Christian? Well, John 9:31 says that now we know that God does not hear sinners. God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and a doer of his will, he hears him. So if we're praying for someone who may be a sinner, God's still hearing us. And perhaps knowing of our prayers can lead someone like that to repent and to become a worshiper of God, doing his will. So yeah, I'd say there's a benefit to praying for people we don't even know. After all, it's God's will for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. While we're praying, we shouldn't forget to ask for mercy, for sympathy. And when we do, remember to offer mercy and sympathy, even for those who have not yet obeyed the gospel. We know God will hear, because Isaiah prophesied to the unrighteous Hebrews who had lost their way in Isaiah 58, verses 9 through 11. He said, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he'll say, 'Here I am,' if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually." God will hear prayers of a penitent soul. And he'll hear the prayers for a penitent soul. So while you're praying, also think about asking for forgiveness. And remember to offer forgiveness. Jesus demonstrated this on the cross. And he tells us in Mark 11:25, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that the Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespass." Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing that all whose names appear on those pages on our prayer list will hear the gospel message and will believe that through repentance they'll learn to confess the name of Jesus before all people, and be baptized, having their sins washed away, cleaned by the blood of Christ, who died on the cross for the salvation of obedient, repentant believers. If you're not yet a Christian, if you've not yet obeyed the gospel, followed God's plan of salvation, or if you've got any other needs that you wish to bring before the church this evening, come forward now as we stand and sing a song of invitation.